resumed, 1 p.m. on Tuesday, November the 13th. Thank you, Jenny and Dana and Mr. Lane for coming to present on this economic development concept strategy. So having said that, I'll turn the presentation over to you and
thank you.
You can begin.
So the mayor just reminded me I'm soft-spoken, so if you can't hear me, please just let me know. Good afternoon, Mayor, Deputy Mayor, and councilors. It's really nice to be here. I had in my notes staff and members of the press. Hello. I'm sorry, I won't say that. Heather. I am going to go off script just for a second to just say thank you to everybody for being so wonderful. Like, it was hard for me to move from home, and like being in such a warm, welcoming community and workplace has really helped with that transition. So I'd like to say first thank you for that. And second, I think the Department of Economic Development has been tasked with a lot of work, and for the last year there's only been 0.5 Dana and Richard. And I think I'd like to acknowledge them for all their hard work. I'm sure it wasn't easy, and so thank you for that, and for being so awesome and patient, getting me up to speed. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity and to be part of the team. So I hope you've all had a chance to review the package that was sent out on Thursday, because I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. But basically, this is what we're going to cover today, some background information just to set the context for what we're hoping to do moving forward, what some of the Nova Scotia priorities are and where we can align with those, what we're doing now, some trends that we've observed, and what's next, and then I'll open it up to questions. So what is economic development? And Richard and I have been discussing this on and off over the past few months. And I think economic development is big. It means different things to different people. But to us, and for the purpose of our work, it's supporting citizens, businesses, and organizations to create prosperous, vibrant, and resilient local communities and economies. And it can look really different from community to community, but I believe the overarching goals are the same, to have a stabilized, diverse economy, to have good long-term employment, to build on local resources and capacities, to increase community participation and ownership, and balance all that with a healthy environment. So whatever we do going forward, I think it should have a long-term effect on the well-being of the region and the resilience. So the next few slides are just on a snapshot of some of the demographics from the 2016 census. So it's not new data, but I think it provides sort of a snapshot of where things are. So from 2011 to 2016, there was a 5.6% decline in the population, and that's consistent with the previous census, which also indicated a decline, and I think that was 2.2% or somewhere around there. So coupled with an aging population, the challenges for growing the region are real. But we have seen quite a few newcomers, and in the last few months, we've given out 34 welcome packages. Which is awesome.
And that's one for two. I just wanted to put that in there. Like, sometimes they're couples, and we just give them one day.
Right, exactly. So there's more people than 34. And some of those might be seasonal, and some of them could be investment properties, but I think what it does show is that there's interest in the region. So attracting newcomers and expats back to the region, I think, is something we definitely like to focus on. Unemployment. So the unemployment rate is fairly high for the first two age groups, and I think it makes sense in the first one, which is, if you can't read it, it's 15 to 24, because there'd probably be a lot of students captured in that. But the 11.9% unemployment rate in the 25 to 64, which is the one in the middle, it's pretty high compared to the provincial rate for the same group, which was 8.2%. And we've heard from major employers in the region that they're finding it increasingly difficult to fill job vacancies. So there's obviously a gap here that we need to explore further and perhaps work with businesses and citizens to address skills gaps, transportation and housing issues, And in talking with some employers, housing and transportation did come up as challenges for potential employees. Self-employment. A relatively large number of individuals 65 plus are self-employed, which is fantastic because there's a campaign, Retire to Liverpool, and it appears, I think, with an aging demographic that people do like living here in their retirement. So we think it would be great to work with retirees and seniors who might be interested in starting a business or looking for new ways to contribute to their community after retirement. So by creating an environment that supports entrepreneurship, we could aim to increase the number of self-employed individuals, particularly in that 25 to 64 age range. And perhaps that would take a two-streamed approach, one for youth and one for seniors, but I think we'd like to grow the number of young entrepreneurs. So industry, so the top five industry sectors are healthcare and social assistance, retail trade, manufacturing, accommodation and food service, administration and support. Again, I think through supporting and encouraging entrepreneurship, we can really build on the retail trade and manufacturing. And we also do a lot of work in tourism, which could help grow the accommodation and food service, particularly in the shoulder seasons. Sorry, I'm flying through this. If you want to stop me at any point and ask a question, please. Immigration. So the statistics on immigration weren't really clear to me, and we are looking a bit deeper into that. That seems very low to me, that only 30 new immigrants came between 2011 and 2016, and that they only make up 3.7%. Yeah.
You're saying immigrants to Queens County only?
Yes, yeah.
30 new
between 2011 and 2016. Now, the sample size on the Stats Canada website, I think, like, seemed fairly small, so I'm following up with them to get some clarity on that, because it wasn't really clear to me how they did that.
Can we just go back just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
When you talked about seniors 65 and over,
mm-hmm.
moving here to retire type thing, or
yep.
start a business, what type of business are we talking when we talk 65 and over? Is there anything you can tell us on that?
I think, well, in looking at some of, I was talking to somebody who is running a business now who wants to get out of that business, and he's thinking that he'd like to be able to mentor young entrepreneurs. Now, whether that's a business or something else, but I think it's something that he's passionate about and something that he's interested in doing, so.
Especially in the region of Queens,
mm-hmm.
I'm really up on seniors moving here. There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
We used to say we don't want to call it a retirement community. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I feel very adamant with that.
I agree, and I'll get to what's next. I'll get to a program that I'm exploring that's focused
because
around seniors.
Because the money from a senior, they still have to spend money.
Yes, of course. Yeah, and they have an income.
There.
Yeah. Anything else?
I have a question, Jenny.
Sure.
Can you clarify the 30 immigrants? What do you classify as an immigrant per se, so we understand what you're talking about?
It was somebody from another country.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes, Councillor Crowe.
When you're looking for, Ren was looking for an example. Barry Tomlin's one that came here to retire.
Right.
And he started his own business. He took over.
Okay.
The
cleaning
Jasper.
Service. Right.
Yeah. So when he's 70. So
that's
an example of
yeah.
Not everyone's like that, but I also wanted to, when you're talking about entrepreneurs, in the home bay there's a whole huge sector that is remote workers,
right?
And they're making huge differences in the home bay as far as volunteering, tax base, all that, and
yeah.
None of them work in the home bay.
Interesting.
So I really think that when we're talking about that, we should expand that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it's different than an entrepreneur. And
right.
But yet, it has so many benefits that go along with it.
Right.
And when they started to identify them, they counted 40 remote workers in Mahone Bay themselves that worked all over the world.
Right.
Were stationed, their home base was there.
So that kind of speaks to us, I think, wanting to create... We want Queens to be a place where people want to live,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I, th- think that's sort of like the broad goal is that, so I think that's where, yeah.
Counselor Fancy?
Yes, I also wanted to mention, because I'm, because we're all different aspects of this, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of, like, Brian, the T family.
Yep.
You know, like, there's Ryan and Princess, and they got three daughters. This five right there, when you're talking 30, it takes a... Now, they, in turn, moved to Bridgewater, but they mostly work here in Liverpool.
Right.
Because we have nothing to support them.
Because we have nothing to support them.
Sure.
Plus, the idea that, that we look at and say, well, there's only somebody in Liverpool, well, then it becomes the housing issue, because a lot of people are living and then working in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
So it you get kind of mixed numbers for actually what they are, because you're going apples to apples that somebody's living here and they're working here. But
yes.
The whole family, well, not now, because some of them are up in Halifax and things, but they, like, the, he and she are over here working in the hospital in Liverpool, but living in Bridgewater.
Right, so we want them to live here.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah.
So I think, like, creating a welcoming environment and a place where people can feel like they have supports in place.
Yes.
Because when you're coming from another country, it's like it's different, right?
Yeah.
So I think, but going into a welcoming environment, that's the same, you know, like feeling welcomed and building supports around those people. Like, I think about the Thanksgiving event, which I missed. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's a really good example of bringing the community together and opening it up to different cultures So I'm not going to, I think I'll move on from immigration just because it's not clear about the, I just wanted to put that in because I think it's an area that we can and should explore. And also attracting newcomers, it grows the population, it increases the tax base, it can support new businesses, and maybe it can fill some of the gaps in the employment and skills. So much of Richard's work on tourism has concentrated on supporting the South Shore Tourism Cooperative, and they provided an update in October, so we included some of the stats here because tourism continues to be a priority for us. So 9% of Nova Scotia's total tourism revenues come from the South Shore. 63% of visitors come for pleasure, and visitors to the South Shore stay on average 2 days longer and spend about $1,000 more than the average Nova Scotia visitor. Of the visitors that come to the South Shore, Liverpool has a 10% capture rate, and the Kedgy Seaside Adjunct has a 3% capture rate. So I think there's more work to do in attracting visitors to Queens, and this will tie in with our upcoming plans for branding and marketing. And also, Jonathan spoke to this morning, with the closure of Jeremy's Bay Campground in 2020, there could be opportunities to collaborate with Parks Canada, who I think would be a fabulous partner, support existing businesses in North Queens to fill some of those gaps, and also offer support and guidance for new business ventures, and also work to increase visitation to Kedgy Seaside. And I think Richard's going to be doing some work on the North Queens. Feel free to jump in anytime, by the way, either of you. So what do people like to do when they visit the South Shore? They eat lobster, they visit an alcohol producer, and they enjoy outdoor activities, which I think we have an abundance of in Queens. So why not work on that? And again, I think the branding and marketing is going to be an important part of this.
We need to work on the lobster part, because you'd be hard pressed to find a lobster.
Really?
I mean, they have the lobster crawl, which is, you can get some of it,
mm-hmm.
but an actual lobster experience is hard to come by compared to, you know, other towns. You know.
Right. We have so many beaches for, like, boil ups.
Oh, yeah.
Carrot beach.
I didn't think you wanted people there.
What's that?
Bring your own bag.
Yeah, bring your
yes.
own back in, back out.
Bring your own lobster.
Yeah.
So they also covered the number of room nights sold in 2016, 17, and 18. So generally, there's been an increase in the room nights sold in the shoulder seasons. And they also noted that in this fall, they expect that it's 80% on par or better than it has been the previous 2 years. And with the popularity of the Christmas crawl and the lobster crawl, there's definitely room to grow the shoulder seasons. And again, branding, marketing, working with tourism operators on destination experiences, and continuing to partner with the South Shore Tourism Co-op are all ways we can attract more visitors and increase tourism. Did I miss anything? No? So the Nova Scotia priorities. So we're small, so only 2.5 of us. Sorry.
No, you're
here, but
I'm only half here.
Sitting here
this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're only
0.3
feet. According to
Chris. Well, I said that this morning because really it's 0.33 is economic development, 0.33 is recreation, and the other 0.33 is food, like, which is almost an entity on its own.
Wow.
And so we spent a lot of time on that as well. So it's.
You're split three ways.
So we're small. We need to be strategic in our planning and with our resources. So there's benefit to consider the priorities of the province and aligning with those where there are common goals. So in looking at the One Nova Scotia publications, the Atlantic Growth Strategy, the Nova Scotia Business Inc., their planning and reports, Develop Nova Scotia and their new mandate, and Tourism Nova Scotia, there's definitely common priorities around population increase, immigration, rural broadband, information technology, ocean industries and ocean technology, tourism, and strengthening businesses and placemaking. What we're doing now. So we're continuing to work on the 2020 vision priorities, and we expect to make good progress on some of the outstanding priorities this fall and winter. And that would include branding and also the waterfront redevelopment project. In addition to the 2020 vision, many of the programs and projects we have in place require continual support and maintenance. So this includes, but it's not limited, and if I miss anything, please jump in, recruiting and supervising seasonal staff for the Visitor Information Center and also the Summer Ambassador Program, tourism initiatives. Christmas Tree is an event. Various publications and advertising, and this is largely Dana, design, editorial content, proofing, and I think, I don't know, there was a list of like 10 publications that we do, so. facilities management, including the airport, the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, the VIC, Four Point Lighthouse, Port Medway Park, and the Farm Market Stand. We're also continuing to work on collaborative regional initiatives, such as Agricultural Day and the SOBE Corporate Tour, which I had the opportunity to participate in this year, and it was fabulous, so it was a really great event. Queens County signage, providing technical support and administrative support, including responsibility for the website, investment attraction and community profile updates, gathering and analyzing statistics and research data, and liaising with other governments and non-governmental agencies, community, and businesses. So I feel like we do a lot. Like I was, got here and I remember looking at the job description and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is a lot. So we are busy. Some of the trends that we're seeing.
Question, just
sure.
The one. So out of all that list, if you go back to the previous,
mm-hmm.
that one, is there anything that you feel you should be doing? Like I look at the Christmas wreaths and I think, why is economic development still after all these years looking after Christmas trees and putting that out? And that could be a worse thing. So honestly, is there anything in that list that you feel that you've outgrown or that you could be working?
I'm sure Richard would like to be rid of the wreaths.
I never understood why that's still there, because it seems like it's a works thing, and it's just fallen into economic development for no reason other than economic development, but I feel like there's probably more. That's just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Because your job is to really get into the meat of economic development, and
yeah.
a Christmas wreath doesn't really do that. So.
No. So we've talked about this, and is there anything that we can kind of drop off this list? And wreaths was definitely something that did come up, but otherwise,
there are some things. So. We end up a lot of the time becoming everything development. So, you know, because everything relates to economic development does kind of end up as a catch-all for some things.
Yeah,
so I think there probably are some of the things in here that could be but the point is that it all needs doing.
Yeah.
Right. So somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's us or somebody else, everybody would say that, you know, that, that they have their priorities and so on.
Well, for me personally, I think that economic development has a much larger role to play than being a catch-all for all of that. So as a counselor, I expect certain things from economic development, and when I, like Jenny, started looking at all the things you do, it really is quite shocking that the things that you're doing that take away from things that we, as counselors, I believe, are really important, which is, you know, the county itself and the very essence of economic development. So just to let you know that we're aware of all that stuff that you do.
Yeah.
Appreciate the fact that it shouldn't be there.
Would it be fair to say that economic development makes the decision as to whether the Christmas wreaths go up as an example, and then Works does the job? If it were left to Works, then they would make a decision whether the wreaths go up or not, and that would be requiring an interaction of business, and of course business, retail jobs and sales are very critical to economic development. So I know we're splitting hairs, but having the oversight in economic development ensures that if it's wanted, it actually occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you view that, so I just don't know.
No, and I guess I would also say that part of like the beautification and vibrancy of downtown does fall within our mandate. But maybe it's something that we partner with the Chamber of Commerce on and the Board of Trade, and it's a thing that we do together as part of a bigger picture. I don't know, but
I think a similar example is signage. So in years past, one of the jobs that was on my annual work plan was to go out and travel around and have a look at the state and condition of a whole bunch of signs. The fact is, I'm not part of the Works Department. I can't do anything about those. So signage has a very large part to play within economic development, but the maintenance and on an annual maintenance basis of those signs doesn't necessarily need to fall into economic development. This is a similar sort of situation.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Well, is it safe to say, though, that whatever's on your list comes out of your budget as well?
Yeah, we have Christmas on our budget.
Yes.
And
at the same way you say that, you know, wreaths is part of beautification, and so is Parks and Recreation, and the Works Department works on, you know, keeping our parks really nice and planting our flowers and our trees and that sort of thing, so that's part of beautification. So there seems to be this kind of, you know, things that could go in different places. Do you think that this exercise now, this strategy, is one where your mandate would be to funnel those things, or look at, like, this is a great opportunity to look at, because you're looking at the whole department,
mm-hmm.
what you do, and how few of you there are to do this, that it might be, you know, pushing things to different places where
mm-hmm.
they may better be taken care of. I mean, I think that as a council, you're right, the Christmas wreaths is a good example, that's something that do we have a policy that we do that every year?
No, we don't have a policy.
Okay. I'm seeing this. See, there's a theme going on here, right? So,
but you do have a budget, definitely.
It's called red,
exactly.
Red tape reduction.
Yeah, but it's what?
Red tape reduction.
Right. Well, I'm not so sure that's a good reduction thing anyway. So that Christmas wreaths get done, and then it doesn't, if there's a policy, it doesn't matter which department does it. We have a policy to do, so nobody can just drop it off of their workload. But I mean, we're getting into something else there, but I mean, I think this is a good opportunity to look at what you do and how to and how to maybe streamline it so that things do get done in a better way.
And I think that kind of going forward, we are going to look at more of a strategy and how we're going to approach economic development. So
I think that touches on it, because a lot of these jobs shouldn't be siloed by department,
right.
And so a lot of you know, things like that are really, they're all of our jobs, right?
Yeah.
They're interdepartmental, and that as a general approach should be the way that we're addressing a lot of these things.
Yeah.
We have to, I guess, just to
go ahead.
I think that's what this shows us, is that we're busy doing things,
mm-hmm.
but we're not necessarily being So in council levels, we're talking about being strategic, but what's the bigger things that we need to do? What's the long-term outlook? And because we're being so busy doing these things, we haven't had a chance to look and see what the bigger picture is. And I think we're getting there, but most of the things we do involve multiple departments. And so we talk about the Christmas wreaths, sure it involves economic development, but it also involves public works. And the reason it involves economic development is because it's an economic development initiative that started with the BI, the bid for the town. And so that's the only reason we're putting them up is for economic development, to get people in the good mood for Christmas to shop. If we transfer that over to engineering and works, they don't have the same mandate. They'll probably go buy plastic ones from Walmart and put them up because that's what they would do if they needed to. And the signage is the same way. If the signage is economic development, we want a certain look, a certain standard, a certain feel, all that, those things, a certain marketability. But if you transfer it over to engineering and works, they're going to get a metal sign that we put up everywhere else, and they're going to put it up because the mandate of that department isn't economic development. And so that's my responsibility to make sure we balance what the mandates of all the different departments are. And so that's why some of these things are in certain departments and why there's a mix. And so here in the next couple of months, we're going to talk about this whole redevelopment of the Liverpool waterfront. There's going to be three departments involved, and each one of them has a different mandate. So we have to balance out. One department wants to do it one way, another department wants to do it another way, a third department wants to do it a third way. We've got to find a balance for all three departments so that it makes sense to the residents. And so it is a difficult challenge, but it's a long way, long story I said, but really this is a slide that's indicative of this department where we have two and a third staff working on these things, but it seems to be a priority of council. I hear it all the time, but we're not investing in potentially enough resources to get the strategic parts that we're going to talk about here soon.
Councilor Fisk?
Just a simple statement. The reefs, they're in your budget, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
So the money's there for that reason. You put the extra money for the reefs in
that.
That cost, put them up or whatever.
Yep, and that's our budget.
That's sort of a misunderstanding, and now I understand.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
So I would just like to point out, make a comment that based on what CAO's just said, that you could open up a whole can of worms to say that there's a number of items on the engineering works department list that probably should be with economic development. If everybody gets my interpretation of that, plastic wreaths and plastic signs or metal signs and that sort of thing, yes. So there's a number of things that the engineering works department does that maybe should be based on how they approach things. Should be with economic development.
And so engineering and public works looks after infrastructure.
Yes, I understand.
And so the...
They make decisions on infrastructure, yes.
Exactly, but if you want to make it look, I shouldn't say, for economic development purposes, pretty...
Beautification, yeah.
That's not public works' job.
Absolutely.
That's somebody else's job. So
that's my point.
Issue. Yeah.
So I think some of that, too, is just being able to work more closely together. So if something has to be done that...
Yes.
In a building that engineering and works has the budget for, we should have some input into what goes into that.
I totally agree, absolutely.
They have big cement planters on their main street, which should have been a unification project rather than just big cement planters. That's
moving on.
Just getting you points there.
So some trends that have been observed. It appears that 40 to 60-year-olds are the new business owners in Queens County. And I would also say, like, women, the amount of women business owners is unbelievable. And really, yes. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I just have to be quiet.
Okay.
What was I going to say there? A lot of the things that you're bringing up, even like the degrees and stuff, that's a reoccurring.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be something as the third. If it's the red, white, and blue, she's got a blue on to that, so that means she's in with you fellas today. It comes up on the agenda for next year. You know how many reads you have to put out, and it's not something like you're reinventing the wheel every year, or how many planters are we going to put out, or how many things. It may look like a big thing, but it becomes really a small thing because the budgeted items are there.
Well...
And,
You'd think. You'd think that that was the case, but actually this year we were trying to increase the number of wreaths in North Queens.
Yeah.
We wanted to electrify some of the poles so that they could be lit up. Nobody bid on the RFP,
yeah.
So we had to go looking for somebody to supply the wreaths.
Okay.
So it's not just a simple, it hasn't been just a simple process, and I would say that that was the same last year. Nobody bid on it.
It has been the same.
And, but we do have somebody interested for next year, which is great. Somebody that did not bid this year, but, and they are in the region, which is fantastic. So if we decide to continue with that, maybe doing an RFP is not the... I don't know. Maybe it's just if there's only one person interested, then maybe we can do that. I don't know what all the rules are, but...
Contract, yeah.
Yeah, contract out for 5 years, is it?
Good. So, okay. More spring and fall travelers. There's a continuing gap in of job vacancies with available skills and interests. There's a demand for high quality and affordable housing. I can speak to that personally. There's a need for more apps and less paper documents, and I think there was a little bit of a decline in the visitors to the VIC this summer, is that true? So maybe we need to have that information available in different platforms. So that's just one example of things that we're thinking of. And also there's a continued demand for high-speed internet, which is kind of a must. So what's next for us? And obviously this is not set in stone and it's pretty high level, so direction and is appreciated. So the collapse of a major resource industry like the mill and the resulting out-migration coupled with an aging and declining population is really can be really hard on rural areas. And as I've said, we're just a small department and the challenges facing the community are complex. So we need to be smart, creative, strategic with our planning and with our resources. So as we plan for future growth, I think there is benefit to considering the current demographics, what the priorities of the province are, but also to build on local knowledge and tradition and strengthen collaborative efforts within and across communities and sectors. So it's our view that economic development can and should play a lead role in mobilizing and supporting citizens, businesses, and organizations to create a vibrant, prosperous, and resilient local community and economy. Perhaps one of the most significant priorities for us in the coming months is working with stakeholders to develop a Queens County brand. To move forward in a strategic fashion, it's essential to have a clear message that accurately represents the region and is meaningful to the residents and also to visitors. It's important that all of our activities, initiatives, and projects, whether that's an interdepartmental thing or externally in the community, they have to support that message. And it's essential that we get the message right to ensure that we're successful in our approach to attracting businesses, visitors, and future residents. Further, we'd like to focus on developing and implementing an economic development strategy framed around building Queens County as a place that people want to live. So attracting and retaining people and investments, increasing entrepreneurship, strengthening the business community, encouraging a sustainable and diversified economy, and strengthening the arts and cultural assets. So while developing a more focused strategy, we'll be working concurrently on the Vision 2020 priorities, as well as introducing new initiatives to strengthen entrepreneurship and the business community, explore opportunities to create a more welcoming community, to attract newcomers and retain current residents, work with housing developers and provincial stakeholders to advocate for new housing developments and promote Queens as an attractive place to invest, build capacity and engage with the arts and cultural community to create and support a functioning and vibrant arts hub in the town hall, continue to pursue rural broadband. Access to high-speed internet is essential for most people these days. In doing all this, we'd also love to create a new grant program to seed or spark innovative business ideas, events, or arts and cultural initiatives. So a couple of recent examples of recent things that we're working on. I'm in early discussions with a group to bring a program here for seniors. So Nova Scotia's aging population is an untapped resource with a variety of skills, experiences, and interests. So by 2025, it's expected that about 30% of Nova Scotia's population is going to be over the age of 65. And I think as a region, we have to proactively engage older adults, enable and expect them to continue to enhance their participation in communities and the economy. So the redefining retirement program is shining a light on that group of people, seniors, and the important role they can play in invigorating our communities and rural economy. Second, the Queens of Business Luncheon is being held on November 19th to celebrate all the wonderful women entrepreneurs in Queens. It's also Women's Entrepreneurship Day. There's been a lot of interest in that. My goal was 50. There's 40 registered right now, so 10 more to go, and this is the last day to register, so hopefully we'll get 10 more. And I think that it's a really important event because it really shows that we support and appreciate our local entrepreneurs and small businesses, and it also provides them with an opportunity to network and obtain information from organizations to support local business. Richard's been working on some new ideas with other regional economic development officers, and it is early days, but maybe he can speak to that?
Just briefly, so the economic development officers in the South Shore have worked together on a number of different projects, and so some things have a much more of a regional focus. So I think there's a very large part to continue to play with working with other municipal units on projects that are of mutual benefit. So there will be some regular meetings of a working group, and it will probably also periodically look to other agencies to find out what's on their work plan and how it intersects the likes of NSBI and ACOA and so on. So what's being proposed at the moment is that happens on a reasonably regular basis. So that's fairly much where we're up to with it at the moment. But there are some things, you know, particularly, as I say, where things work better with a regional focus than they do on an individual municipal unit basis.
So internally, we've talked about the need to invest in staff training and professional development, as well as updating the website with new content and ensuring a more mobile-friendly format. I know that particularly the economic development website, it needs some updating, so I'm hoping to work on that in the future. So we're actively looking for training and facilitation, engagement, and approaches to branding, marketing, and placemaking. And where training's not available or feasible, then we're gonna look for skilled partners to collaborate with. So to close, I think the past couple of years has been a time of change and transition for Economic Development Department. And I'm really looking forward to working more with Richard and Dana and harnessing our strengths, working more closely with the other departments in the region of Queens, and also building partnerships and increasing collaboration with other municipalities, government departments and agencies, communities and business, and working with a more focused approach to attracting future residents, tourists, investment, and business to Queens. And, I went backwards. Any questions or comments?
Any councilors have questions or comments? Yeah,
so I love the idea of the interdepartmental. That's one thing that, you know, I assume it takes place now, but it's one thing that we don't hear a lot about, and I'd love to see and hear more about interdepartmental collaborations on projects. And I just wanted to ask, I assume, but I don't want to, that the Economic Development Department has a key role in addressing the consultations by Uplands for the planning strategy?
We did not.
Do you believe that you would have a lot of input to consult, to pass on your findings and your knowledge and what you would like to see, give your information and recommendations to Uplands?
I think it was a missed opportunity to work together
right.
With planning and economic development. But going forward, I have asked to be more involved in planning and also to discuss any findings with Upland. So I have reached out to them and I went
good.
To...
So we'll make sure that that connection mm-hmm. is made in the future, yes, because we're a long ways from being finished, so better late
yeah.
than never,
yeah.
yes.
The one thing I'm really hoping as we move forward is that we change the narrative. We always start off with, you know, Bowater and the Bowater shot and the process we went through. And that's so far back now, and we have gone so far with what we've done. And I hate for us, and you mentioned Liverpool, people still say about the mill, and we at the top need to change the narrative of how we deal with that. So
mm-hmm.
not every presentation should be, you know, in 2012 the mill went down, because we all know it had a big impact.
Right.
But now we've moved past it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many exciting things that can replace it, can add to it, to add to the whole community, that if we don't change the narrative, no one else is going to change it. So,
I agree.
And, you know, I just heard a report on CBC not too long ago, and they talked about Liverpool, and you know, and they started off with the Bowater conversation and what they were reporting, and I don't remember the actual report, but it was exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off with that negative and then try so hard to turn into a positive, whereas if we just started off positive. So I'm really glad to see your strategic movements and your plans for that, and hopefully that will give us more of a positive statement.
I think so. And like coming from Newfoundland, the cod fishery closed in 92, and
yeah.
it's still like some towns never recovered from that,
yeah.
right? And it's a really negative.
But we have, and we are.
You
yeah.
must have been SFM people at once, you're still talking about, oh, I'm so sad that your cod fishery died, you know, and recently.
It's, yeah, and it's been a really long time, and you have to move past that and focus. And there are lots of really great things happening here. Like,
yeah.
I came here in June thinking, where the heck am I going? Like, I'd never been to Liverpool, and I was like, I loved it. And there
yeah.
are. There's lots of really great things happening that I think
yeah.
you should be really proud of, and it's
yeah.
it's exciting.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I agree.
Just, if I could, just for one thing, when we're taking out the welcoming bags and, you know, the Thanksgiving that Heather and I planned, I'm amazed and so thrilled that we're meeting such a variety of people that are moving here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not retirees.
Mm-hmm.
It's people.
It's not only retirees.
Not only,
yeah.
absolutely not for only. And people are coming here, maybe just to live a better, quieter lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not coming here to sit in a rocking chair by any means. So even the
yeah.
retirees are coming in. And when we were, during theater festival, I took a look around, and everybody on that committee, everybody that was in the audience, everybody that we're helping out, people that are taking billets, are all new people to our community. So you take an event like that, and you're 90% of new people that moved in the last 3 or 4 years. That's where you get the benefits of that. So it's really amazing to see the, and when we did the Thanksgiving, like young couples that were moving in. So it's really promising.
Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, I like your report. I like where you, but a lot of it it's regurgitation, you know, because that's what you're saying, this is what you've been doing
mm-hmm.
in the past, and a little bit about where you're going to in the future. The one thing is kind of going along with what Councilor Fairley said, but the university comes up and says, well, since 2011 to 2016, we've gone down 5.6.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes from Bowater days and that's, you know, I guess, not so much emphasize our losses, because that losses were a natural thing that they,
right.
A loss of a industry, really going down 500 people when you've lost a major industry is incredible that we didn't, but when you cure them, you know. So, with that being said, though, too, is that I know these are only things I hear and things, but like up to the Wickwar, the numbers are up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this like the kids are gone away. I remember back 3 or 4 years ago when they had I think they only had one grade, one class. And they said, oh no, here's the beginning of the end, because we
mm-hmm.
only get one grade, one class. We're not going to, the kids are gone away, but they are there. So we haven't lost it. There's a lot of families that moved in with children.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
So,
yeah.
I think it goes all back to the, and I should say one thing too, the welcoming bags, I've taken them around, people really like the welcoming bag. I would say that we should like I know that Jeff, Murray just moved up into my place, up in my area, and he's a new resident, but it's his very first home. I think welcoming bags should go to people like that too, because you know there it's a starting like a new family, a new home. We should add that to our welcoming, just to make sure that they, because it's their very first home, right?
Right. Heather's down in the back taking notes, I think.
But I think a lot of it goes back down to the housing situation, which is, I think, is the critical component to everything, because we have a call center right here that's crying out for people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something was said here this morning about not many cars around there. Yeah, I know we work shift work, but there was a lot more cars there before,
mm-hmm.
and I see that they're hurting for personnel,
mm-hmm.
and they've gone up to $13 an hour now, so they actually increased their wages to be able to draw people in. Now that's not for everyone,
no.
But when I talked to some of the lawyers' offices, they say, I said, what you see is the biggest thing with people who are buying or not buying. And that's that they're saying that people who want to come in want to stay somewhere for a while to understand if they can be able to where they want to live.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that.
Right.
My wife was out yesterday and the car stopped along the road, went up here a little bit, stopped, went up here a little bit. And she said, and she was driving along, so just as my wife is, a very kind person, stopped and said, do you have any problems? She said, no, I'm just looking around at the houses that are for sale. And she said, is there any place to stay?
Yeah.
That's just one person who's doing that, right?
No.
If you're saying it's one person, it's probably 20 people who are doing that, that we're missing out on opportunity.
Well, I have had that difficulty. Like, I'm in an Airbnb for the winter.
Yeah.
But I also had a conversation with the HR person from Aquilitas, who is also finding that kind of in-between housing when they're bringing people in, they're not ready to buy a house yet because they want to sort of settle in and make sure they like the job and explore the area, see where they want to live before they buy a house. So I agree, it is a challenge, and I think that's something Chris and I have had discussions about in terms of housing developments and something that is on our list.
I think that a lot of places like down Bridgewater, I think they're really hung up on these Airbnbs because
mm-hmm.
they said it's taken away from the economy. I think that we need more things like that, where people can be able to go and be able to stay and be able to see if this is where they want to be and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing is like, I know up in Milton, there's a place used to be a bed and breakfast. It's closed down. They stopped doing it. And I'm worried about the Morton House, what's going to happen. That's going up for sale. If somebody doesn't take that over and continue it on, we're losing a lot in those types of things rather than gaining.
Well, I would say from a personal experience, I reached out to maybe 10 or 12 Airbnb owners, and none of them were interested in renting in the off season, except the one that I rented from. Now, that was out around, like, it wasn't in Liverpool, it was in the areas outside. So I think it's people shut their houses down for the winter, and they make more money in the summer. Like, my landlords are probably losing $2,000 a month on from what they can make in the summer and what I'm paying. There's a $2,000 difference per month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not worth it, I don't think, for the wear and tear to rent throughout the winter. So I don't know how you work on those kinds of issues, because it's people own, it's their own personal property.
Yeah.
And but I think having maybe more available, affordable, nice apartments would be helpful for that.
Councillor Fancy, you will remember that 2 years ago we identified apartments as being a priority.
Absolutely.
We've had a number of discussions with developers. And this fall, it's my understanding that we'll have 38 apartments under construction.
Great.
So it is growing, and it will continue
right.
to grow.
Yeah.
We need to source more developers.
Right.
And of course, that's part and parcel to economic development, and that's
and how can we help with developers? I guess that's all this type of thing, the discussions we're having now.
Yeah.
How can we help them? How can we encourage them
mm-hmm.
to build? How can we encourage them to do all these?
Well, I think we can encourage them, but it really comes down to what, like, we've had discussions, Councillor Fancy and I, about affordable housing, and there are challenges for local developers
right.
in terms of bank caps, and then also if you look at building affordable housing, and I didn't know this until recently, but if you look at the, like, Housing Nova Scotia will look at the rental income for the area and do an average. So if you have, you know, high-end apartments and then you have a lot of slum apartments that are only charging $400 a month, then they look at that and your subsidy is based on that. So in lots of cases, it's just the rents already look low here. But that could be just because there's a lot of apartments that are very low priced and maybe.
But that's going to, and I don't want to continue on that path, I understand. But the whole idea is that some of them are more of a slum landlord, so to speak. And those apartments have to be up to a different standard.
Right.
Which we are actually working through the housing committee, trying to get something written up that could really address that.
I have Councilor Muse now.
Going back to the, you know, move-in kit bags, it's a good thing. I've talked to a lot of people, and like Councilor Farrell said, it's not retired people. Like, it's mostly, you know, middle-aged people moving in
this area.
Like, I find anyway. And it's starting businesses.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, like for tourism, like, you know, the lodge and the quarter deck, and even Carter's Beach. Carter's Beach this year, the average person traveled 2 hours just to go to the beach. You know, the quarter deck, they have mostly people from Ontario this way, and the lodge, they tell me they have mostly Americans or people from out west. And I mean, it's funny how different areas do that, but you know, it's increasing all the time, and a lot of people, I'm finding my district anyway, Ontario people or BC people are moving here to establish businesses.
Newfoundlanders.
Rocks. I see the little jumps and rocks.
Councilor Johnson?
Well, Jenny and Richard and some portion of Dana.
You're getting smaller. Smaller.
Well, what I've heard here today is encouraging, but it's also scary because it's a huge mandate for very few people. And the energy and the budget that we put in it and draw budget away for other stuff, as Councilor Phillips says, you know, honestly, you know, it's kind of been a catch pit for it. But I like the idea that to work smarter instead of harder and to start with a vision, a brand, and a strategy. That to me breaks down a lot of barriers. It breaks down that matrix management within this whole region of staff so that everybody's working towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three things that you have up there should be the same goals for recreation, should be exact same goals for planning and public works, because those pieces all start to fit together as to what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that. Starting with that brand and having a strategy and something that I've harped on, and I know the council probably has too for the last 2 years since we came to office, is making that work. Building on our partnerships, I don't think we leverage that quite enough, especially with the seniors, because I know the partnerships, Richard, that we worked on around starting to build a strategy around age-friendly communities, and what does that actually mean? That doesn't just mean for people over 50, it means for the 30s and the 40s that we're putting infrastructure in place for them so that they'll stay here. And that's what we did with a partnership with transportation, just to try to get a transportation system going. Partnerships at a high level to get some funding and make sure that we're working with a big picture. Richard, I applaud that very much so. But there's so many smaller partnerships that we can leverage within here so that you guys aren't putting up Christmas wreaths and you're finding a way to do that so you can deal more strategically. And one of the things that I really, it's been a pet peeve of mine, is that visitor, I call it not visitor information center, but the visitor experience. I don't think they have to go to a visitor information center to get a good quality visitor experience. And I find that's lacking. That's one thing for me, and I've had these conversations with Richard about that. But get the businesses more involved in that experience for those visitors. But it doesn't go anywhere, again, without having a strategy as to how and why it is important to what we're trying to do. But other than that, very encouraging for 2.3 people. Good job, video.
say part of being small is that you have to get anything done, you have to build partnerships and work collaboratively, because it is overwhelming for 2.3 people. So like building those in the community or with businesses or with the chamber or the board of trade, like it does help if there are common goals and all of us working together, it makes sense. And it's easier to move things forward if you have more people and you have buy-in. So I agree.
You know, I've heard you say, you know, the housing piece is big. You know, Queens Care Society, the work that the ex-mayor Chris Clark is doing, these guys are up there beating those bushes that's going to make our job here
right.
a whole lot easier. And what Queens Care has done and around that side of it, the transportation. So, you know, they got that going where it was on the books of council in 2012, that tires didn't hit the road. So, and that's done from people who are in that demographic age group, 60 and over,
mm-hmm.
who have moved here with business experience and had business and things like that
yeah.
to make that work. Anyway, good job.
Thank you.
Councilor McLeod?
Good stuff. I know it's challenge to come, especially yourself, Jenny, into a new community and discover what we have, what works. I mean, sometimes you bring things to us that we've heard before, but nothing was ever accomplished by that. And, you know, we're going to make sure that we're going to, you know, follow up on a lot
mm-hmm.
of these things that you have with your team. One thing that I often think about is with the partnerships you're discussing, and that's what you need. That's where you get the bulk of your support from and
mm-hmm.
the strength from, is building quality partnerships that are really going to be sincere and working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in our community, we're small enough to know who's out there. And under the economic development umbrella, meaning it's growing your economy, growing your population, the population growth strategy or whatever, you know, all these things need good input from the stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether we could think about, in the future, developing some type of economic development forum where we can invite local people
mm-hmm.
who are business people, organizations, developers, everybody into a room
yep.
and sit around and really discuss the needs that everyone has, and maybe that's how we can collaboratively work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a discovery opportunity as well.
Right.
To know who, it's great for you to know who's out there. They're knowing what, like the region has always struggled. We have had more economic development strategies on our shelves that I would really want to remember.
Right.
I mean, there's so many, and they're just, I mean, every time we have one produced, it's not going to gather dust, and I'm so tired of hearing that. Maybe we shouldn't produce one. Maybe we should just make sure we're out there and get everybody else's support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you have to have a plan,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have a plan that you can follow, not something that's pie in the sky. You really have to follow something.
Yeah.
And you certainly have our support. And each one of our communities are different, but we're all there for the same goal. And if you ever need any of us to be there, if you need anything like that as far as becoming familiar with, even people that we hear on the streets every day
mm-hmm.
just talk about downtown Liverpool
mm-hmm.
versus the you know, the other areas of the municipality
mm-hmm.
that have businesses and do like the Exit 19, I always call it, over the superstories and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that those are separated really doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, we can work collaboratively together to
mm-hmm.
do that sort of thing, work together. So that's where the partnership can play.
Thanks. And I think that you're right. When I wrote down economic development strategy, like, I kind of shuddered a little bit because I feel a bit the same about those kinds of reports, but I do think that it is good to have some kind of focused approach.
Yeah.
And it can be a living thing. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, priorities change when you talk to the public and engage people. It's different, you know, different things can come out of what you originally envisioned. So I'm all about having a kind of living, moving document that's not necessarily set in stone, but yes, our goal is set in stone. But I think, and I also have a meeting this week with a group out of Purdue in Maine who does training on strategic doing, which I think would be an awesome thing to have here. And that would exactly be like inviting people to who we can collaborate and partner with to be on the same page about how to move things forward. So I am looking into that, which is so less about strategic planning, more about strategic doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have Deputy Mayor Kelly.
There's so many things. I know, and it's huge, right?
I've only been here 2 months.
I know. And I would just like to change the conversation for a minute, right? Everyone keeps talking about 2.3, and, you know, maybe it should be, you know, 3.3 or 4.3, because it is huge. And this is where everybody here agrees that that is, you know, one of our main focuses on revitalizing our communities. And it's that, you know, it's a huge task, and therefore maybe we're not putting the resources behind it to say this is how serious we are about this. And I appreciate all of your efforts putting towards this, you know, monumental task we have before us. One of the things I wanted to bring up was just about one of the topics at the NSFM was import replacement, economic revitalization and relocalization.
Okay.
And it seemed to be sort of like, it was the very last end of the day thing on Friday, you know, everyone's getting ready to leave. Some people missed it because of that. But it was almost like one step further than buying local,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just wanted to touch on that fact, you know, that we had the buying local project, 10 to 20 project years and years ago. And it's like, it should always be there in some way, shape, or form. And we do the 10 to 20 project, and then it went for so long, and there was a finite time on it, and it just kind of stopped. It says, okay, well, we did our bit, hopefully the message got through, and that's it. But I think there should be stages forever that this always stays on the radar, some way, shape, or form. Because you said our community is continually changing, and we have new people, businesses coming in, and businesses leaving, and that sort of thing. We just want to constantly keep that message. Maybe that's a
mm-hmm.
partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, right? But the main point of import replacement was about monetary leakage. You know,
mm-hmm.
you want your money to stay swirling around in the bucket and plug the holes where you can,
mm-hmm.
where the money is actually leaving, right? And there was a good point made about transferring procurement from anchor institutions, you know, which we are. You know, keeping our money locally where we can, encouraging those other anchor institutions like the hospitals or even, you know, our RCMP or schools, whatever they are, to keep the money to keep the money locally. So I just wanted to sort of make that point and you know, sort of think about strategy. And maybe it's
mm-hmm.
just like now it's that communication, you know, and all departments then here at the Region of Green should be feeding into that communication about what they're doing. Even our finance department, get people think about differently about how their taxes are spent and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, letting people know how they're contributing to our community to help revitalize that sort of thing. And that's
mm-hmm.
just like simple communication sort of thing, right?
I think procurement, and I don't know, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there are provincial regulations around procurement and what you can...
There's provincial, federal, international, the import replacements of Donald Trump theory of the economy. I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's about everybody spends their money within this bubble, and you can't spend any money outside.
And if we ever did that,
the economy of Queens County would collapse.
Yeah, you're talking all or nothing. I'm not talking all or nothing. I'm talking about this is where you're trying to look at where it's going and trying to stop some of it, right? But trying to keep local producers, if we can make it here, you know, people should buy it here kind of thing, right? It's not an all or nothing. There's balance to everything, right? Balance to everything.
But the supply needs to be sustainable, it needs to be competitive, and it needs to be reliable. And if you have a product that's made locally and it meets that, then I'm sure the procurement would fit that.
Absolutely. But unless you're having that conversation, then nobody's actually focusing on what they're doing, right? And again, about the whole sort of buy local, you know, if you can do it, you know, that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, right? And the fact that many people spoke about this at NSFM means that there's a number of municipalities that believe in this and that are actually doing this, right?
We're trying. trying.
No, there were obviously no CAOs speaking on this issue on the panel. No, you know what I mean? There weren't many CEOs actually there listening at NSFM to a lot of the stuff that was going on as well. So really, you have your council here.
Because they were there and weren't listening, or they weren't there and weren't listening?
Well, they weren't. There was a lot not there that maybe should have been there, and I think maybe your name came up as well.
In a good light.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But also just wanted to touch on as well, like the whole welcoming thing, you know, like to get people when they first get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard about people that have moved here and I had talked to a number of times, yeah, they left because they couldn't get involved in things or they weren't finding that connection. And we can so bridge that connection, and I've done it so many times. And maybe put more focus on that as well, about, you know, it's one thing to get them here, but we've got them here, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
we
that's
have to keep them.
That we do really, really, really want to keep them. So I think that was extremely kind of important too, and welcoming new businesses as
mm-hmm.
well. I mean, we have the welcoming people, but we sort of miss out on that little bit of extra step to welcoming new businesses
mm-hmm.
to the community. Even if they're existing people, there's a business side of things that they need to be welcomed into and connected to make sure that their businesses thrive as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things I think are important. And the other thing I wanted to just touch on was the fact that we often talk about, and I think there was something a long time ago where it was a Chamber of Commerce, or was it a region thing, that we're training frontline staff in our local businesses to be more knowledgeable about our community. And it comes back to the fact that I think it came up at a tourism thing where Donna had said a tourist asked somebody in frontline retail business where's the best place to get a lobster sandwich, and they told them McDonald's. You know, it was, this is like, yeah, because we put our summer staff on the front line, right? You know what I mean? And maybe they don't know, the younger people don't know exactly what our community has to offer. So another sort of missed opportunity with the Chamber and with our local business. Yeah, okay, we're done.
This wasn't planned, but I'm just trying to put charts in the marker to try to read between the lines what's being said here today. And what's being said is we want to develop a strategy about people wanting to live here. So we're not creating a strategy about creating employment. We're not creating a strategy about other things. It's about getting people to live here, which I think fits nicely in with the whole, our Vision 2020 document was about investing in our infrastructure, investing in our community groups, investing in our staff, investing in the other things in the community. And so when we think about what we have here and where we're lacking, where we need, we think about where people want to live. We want younger people as well, as we talked about. Specifically, they want education. They want good quality schools.
Okay.
Okay. And I think we've got all of our schools are relatively new or new.
Yep.
So I think we put a check mark there, because I think we're there. That's not an issue. So if somebody wants to move here, there shouldn't be any issues around education. And other parts like healthcare.
Other than doctor shortage.
Other than some doctor, not shortage, but doctor challenges, I guess, at this point in time. Our hospital's been open for about 50 years. We're like the only one that hasn't had an ER closure in 50 years. And I don't want to jinx it.
That's not true. We have had an ER closure.
Oh, the doctor's telling me we haven't, so anyways.
When?
This summer.
Huh?
It was transferred to Bridgewater with no emergency system. There wasn't two RMs on.
Yeah, it was open. It wasn't a doctor. So on the healthcare side, we're still the envy of most small communities in Nova Scotia as far as healthcare. Obviously, we're still working on doctor recruitment and stuff in both North Queens and South Queens. But I think we're pretty good shape there.
Yeah.
So if somebody's coming, they may need a doctor, but eventually they're going to get one, and they're going to get better healthcare if they go to the hospital. So that stuff is there. And so what are the other things that people, if they want to live here, to get people to live here, what are the things they're looking for?
Welcoming.
Daycare.
Job.
Housing.
Okay,
not
so job.
Not live here unless you have a place to live.
Okay. So jobs is one that somebody said. And so as Jenny and her staff have said here today, there's lots of employers that she talks to that have vacancies that can't fill.
Mm-hmm.
So the unemployment rate shows 11.9, and some of that's a little skewed because there's seasonal people that are unemployed certain times of the year, like, well, I shouldn't say that. I won't pick on anybody, but there's certain ones that only want to work seasonally,
mm-hmm.
and so they're always going to come up on the unemployment lines or unemployment rates at certain times of the year, but they're not interested anymore. And there's people that may be considered unemployed that are don't want to be employed because they're working, they're doing stuff at home, they're doing other stuff. And so on the job side, we seem to have plentiful jobs, but we have a mismatch of skills between the people that are here. So if you have people that are clients of community services, what do we need to do to get their skills up so they can meet the requirements for some of those jobs? Or if there's other people that have higher skills, what are the types of jobs that we can look find for them here? Or how do we help them be entrepreneurs to set up their own business or their own company or whatever? So from the job side, I mean, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear too much about that locally, about somebody, about not enough jobs or anything like that. What I typically hear is we don't have enough people to fill the job. And so
but a lot of jobs, we need more of the middle class jobs.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So we're I'll put a small check mark there. I think we're in pretty good shape, but we want jobs that are paying at a higher skill level or higher rate level as well. We have lots of the entry level that we can't fill, it seems. And we have lots of the skilled trades at a higher level that are filled quite well, and there is a good turnover of people.
And you've got future prospects like Aquilitas. If they stick to their numbers,
mm-hmm.
it'd be huge.
Exactly. So some of those companies that want to grow and do those things, Nova Scotia Power, if they do the refurbishment of the dams,
yeah.
I mean, potentially hundreds of jobs, and so it becomes where they're going to live.
Yeah.
And so I think the employment stuff is going to take care of itself to a big degree, but we'll have to have a little bit of involvement. Someone said daycare, just because it's fresh of mine today. So we obviously do have a daycare that's still has a little bit of room that functions quite well. It's been around for, I think she said,
34 years.
So it's been around for a while. So we're pretty good there.
What's referred to daily, it's a pretty good lifestyle that a lot of people like. And that has a host of cabins.
Exactly. And so if you want lifestyle for camping, I mean, you got one of the best in Canada, you said, at Kedgy Park. If you want recreation facilities, especially for families,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we have some of the best infrastructure and recreation facilities around. And people want the events and stuff. And so Steve's here. I mean, Steve does a lot of events and things that go on in the community. People appreciate those. And so I think we're the envy of a lot of places in Nova Scotia as well, because we have a lot of things going on.
They want more.
And we have great facilities. And they want more, exactly. And then becomes the balance of how much can we do? What's the capacity of people's income to continue to fund and go to those events?
Yep.
And so how do we get more people from outside the community to come bring their money in
to
spend that, which is a challenge. And the lifestyle, I mean, I think, that's probably second to none in Nova Scotia for people. You're no more than 10 or 15 minutes from a White Sand Beach.
Yep.
If you can get education, health care, employment.
Housing,
really
what's
good.
Our problem?
And
what is our problem?
Safety of the
department stores.
Too.
Culture.
Department stores, like, I get more people, you know, we need a clothing store. Or like
we have a clothing store.
But it's changing those perceptions, because you know something, if you talk to Rob James, I've had a conversation with him at a Kim Maslin's office, and the number one, and why they go to him with this, I have no idea, but the number one complaint that he says he receives in the MLA's office, of all places, is we have no clothing stores here. That's the number one. That is, could you believe that? The number one. It's the perception of these things, too. Again, communication. How do we change those perceptions in the community about what we have? I mean, you're preaching to the choir here with this list, because we all know this, we have this.
But we don't always walk around every day thinking about how fortunate we are to have these.
Oh, I do. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And tell people every single day. Every single day.
Absolutely. And so the purpose of this list is, where's the gaps?
Exactly.
And that's what the staff are trying to figure out here. It's all
welcoming. I just said welcoming community.
Is that a positive or a gap?
It's a gap.
Yeah.
We just had three or four conversations about we can do so much better with that. We bought two turnkeys at $40, and we had a room full of people that all talked about how amazing it was to live in Liverpool and why they were here.
And two
and what
of them bought a house since then.
And we
that
actually
couple that
convinced.
Came bought a house. In Liverpool.
Oh, housing.
So welcoming community fits with people want to live here, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. The next one's housing, somebody mentioned.
But don't put a check in.
Housing is a huge challenge, but as the mayor said, we've got a bunch of new units coming in.
Exactly.
But so housing is one of those things that we need to focus on. and work in Bridgewater, or live here and work in wherever they want. But the focus of what we're talking about here today is about where people are living. We have lots of people here now who are professionals that live in Bridgewater because they can't find the standard of housing they're looking for. And so that links to this. And then we also have the affordable housing issue where Jenny talked about. You have some housing that's very high quality, some very low quality. And if you're somebody coming in, someone's going to work at a hospital, you want affordable housing, you're a single person, where are you going to find it?
Housing is an issue.
We also, Jenny touched on immigration and immigrants coming in. And we've had lots of people move here, but we've had lots of people move out. So those numbers that you're giving are probably not a true number because we don't have anything in place to support them. I remember one year, I think it was like 2016, we had 3 people move in, and Bridgewater had 76. But they are working very hard with their people from all over, giving them what they need, welcoming as part of it, but ongoing support. And that's why we're seeing those numbers so drastically low.
I love what Jonathan said this morning about working with the Immigration
Absolutely.
Settlement Agency and bringing...
Yeah, but that's open to work.
Like
all of us to work.
Yeah, I think, I thought I was so, like, it was amazing to hear him say
yeah,
that
absolutely.
And that they've had so many
people. I wrote
people.
That down.
Yeah, I did too.
yeah.